Malcolm Jamal Warner. Now, I thought I had covered this to the extent that it needed to be covered the other day, but new detail has been emerged, and somebody sent me his last video that he posted to people or to his followers or to his fans or to anybody that was rocking with him. They sent me the last video, and so I'm going to share that with you guys, and then we're going to deep dive into the details of what happened to Malcolm Jamal Warner. Make sure you guys hit a like for the algorithm, subscribe to the channel with turning on notifications. This was his last message to people.
What's good? Yes, I got the flower in my hair. Today's my daughter's birthday. She put the flower there, so I'm rocking it. But it's a beautiful day here in Atlanta. I just wanted to shout out and just spread some love and some good cheer. And you know, life is out here lifing, right? For me and for everybody else. But just wanted to remind you, as I remind myself, that no matter what's going on, there's always a reason to smile. Like, if you just take a minute to stop and take stock, I guarantee you can find at least one reason to smile. And if for some reason you can't find a reason to smile, then that's probably the best time to be the reason for somebody else to smile. So, find a smile for yourself and be a reason for someone else to smile. That's all I got. Listen to love because it's been a minute. Peace and love, and I'll be back soon.
And as soon as somebody said that they're going to be back soon, they never back soon. It's bothersome sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like you see these demons and you see these devils running around, and you know, they out here just creating havoc and chaos, and you be wondering to yourself, how do they live to be 80 and 90 years old? You know, how do people that are the worst for society and the culture live to be 80 and 90 years old? There's prisoners that be in prison living to be 80 and 90 years old, has done some of the worst things on earth. You know, that's why I stopped making motivational videos for Instagram. Because it seemed like everybody that make a last video, a motivational video where they trying to be positive, they'd be like, all right, time to come on home, snatchies. I don't make no motivation. Only thing I post on Instagram is me riding in the car. You know what I'm saying? Chilling. I don't do no. You know what, guys? Just wanted to tap in today and say, you are loved. You're special. Just wanted to get it on. Anytime I have a motivational message and I be thinking to myself, I'm about to post something on Instagram, I just go ahead and put the phone down. I just go ahead and put the phone down, because every time we pull up a last message, it'd be like a farewell message. You know, my daughter, they put this in my ear, and she told me she loved me today. I ain't lying. I am not lying. Every single time I be thinking about it, me and my daughter are so, I think about my father, right? And I don't think that this is relevant to it, but as far as like it coincides, because you could be a good person, you could be a positive person, all of that, right? I think about my daughter because I think about my father. And my father, before he passed, we were like this. You know how y'all hate y'all parents? That was never me and my father. You know how you take to your mother? I took to my father. And we talked sometimes for 3 and 4 hours a day. And we lived next door to each other. That's how crazy it was. But the last, I would say, 5 years, maybe even less than that, maybe 4 years of my father's life, we spent so much time with each other at night, because we literally, because he was the maintenance man of the facility that you know what I'm saying, that I was in for free. So he had a townhouse and I had a townhouse. And we were next door to each other. So anytime, right before sometimes I would go to bed or right before I would turn in, or I knew he was about to go to bed because he had to get up early in the morning, I would go next door and I would just lay on the floor and we would talk and we would laugh and we would kick it, right? And so we would have all of these conversations. And he always used to tell me, because he loved the Pancake House. He loved the Pancake House. And so I would tell him, I would say, you know what? I'm almost there. I'm almost there. We about to get you your restaurant, and that's going to be your retirement gift. And so, you know, he would just be like, ah, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And so we started actually putting it together. A lot of people always talk about my restaurant and stuff like that. My first restaurant that I ever built, but I built it for him. I was building the restaurant. It was for him. It was his gift. It was the thing that he was going to be able to run because he was tired of working for people. And so, you know, when I got successful and when I, you know what I'm saying, got to the point to where I was financially in a space, we were working on it together. I fell off the roof. We got multiple different pictures. I'll show y'all some of the pictures of us building it together. He worked with the contractors. He was there after he got off of work from his maintenance job in order to ensure that, you know, the plumbing people did their job and all of that. So we were working together. The reason why it broke me so bad when he passed away is because we were at like the 75, 80% mark of finishing it, and it was going to be him. So my goal was to finish what we started, and that was it. You know what I'm saying? But it's funny, because the reason why I'm telling this story is because it's almost like we were so close that the day that he died, we had talked 2 hours before I had went into corporate. I was on my way into corporate America, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to see you at the restaurant later on today. We got some contractors coming in or whatever, so on and so forth. And then I have, you know, got the phone call. I actually got the phone call, I believe, from my family before I got the phone call from the police. And it was like, you need to come home. 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 I'm like, what do y'all keep asking me to come home for? Why are you asking me to come home? Stop asking me to come home. Come home for what? So I knew it was really bad. I was like, it's your dad. And so I'm like, oh, man, here we go. Then the police called me and they told me what happened. And so that was it. You know what I'm saying? But it almost seems like, you know, when I talk to my daughter, and me and my daughter have almost the same relationship as my father, and it's scary. It's super scary sometimes how close we are. When I walked into the door yesterday at the Airbnb, she was waiting outside for me, my 17-year-old daughter. She was waiting outside for me, and she says, she says, what took you so long? Because she got my location or whatever, right? She followed me on Find My. And I said, what do you mean? You made a stop at In-N-Out Burger. You did this, you did this. So she started talking all about it. And so she comes outside and she just jumps into my arms. You know what I'm saying? Like, our relationship. And so the first thing that she like, you smell like outside. Why are you laying in my bed? You smell like outside. Why are you laying in my bed? I said, but that's because I had the top dropped. You know what I'm saying? And I was riding through. So then she just lays on me. And I'm supposed to be getting ready for the live stream last night, but I got my daughter laying on me, right? And we so close that sometimes it feels scary, because it's almost like it's at that moment. It's at that moment where you're the closest to, you know, the people that are close to you, that something is almost like happens. And I almost want to program myself and condition myself to say, we got to get out of this mindset, because we so used to being in a negative space. We so used to hating people. We so used to divesting ourselves from family. We so divided sometimes that we almost think that having a blissful moment where people are having best friends or people that like you is the end of you. Oh, man, you fulfilled your purpose. It's time for God to take you. No, it ain't. I'm going to be here for another 40 years, my nigga. It ain't time to go yet. People can love me. People can love you. And you can still have another 40 years on this life, on this earth. But it almost seems like every single time that you get that, you know what I'm saying, that thing. Every single time you get that message from somebody, you just, for me, I start to get worried a little bit. And I think it's just from PTSD, not PTSD. But it's just from past experiences where It's like you see that person and it's like they so good and they so nice. Then it's like the next day they gone. But I'm conditioning myself to think differently. Real talk. Here's some of the details that they were sharing about him, about the whole situation and what happened.
Brecon Beach, where officials say a dangerous rip current swept away Malcolm Jamal Warner, the Cosby Show star, drowning in secluded paradise on Sunday.
What makes that beach so treacherous?
You know, it's similar to other beaches where there are strong rip currents that are deceiving.
Mike Geist helps run a volunteer lifeguard organization here. He says while no lifeguards were on duty that day, Geist's friend, who happens to be a trained lifeguard, was there to surf and discovered Warner unresponsive in the water.
You know, the first thing that they do is they bring him to the surface and give the emergency respirations.
Right there. In the water.
In the water on the surfboard. And when he didn't respond to that, my friend rapidly took him into the beach and they immediately began CPR.
These are the first things we saw when we pulled up to the beach. Signs in Spanish and English warning people about potentially hazardous conditions. This sign even giving a roadmap for how to escape a rip current.
Costa Rica's Red Cross says they were able to rescue another man alive who was taken to a clinic in critical condition. Meanwhile, tonight, the outpouring continuing to grow.
Blue suede shoes, hit it.
One for the money, two for the show.
Raven Simone, who played Warner's niece on The Cosby Show, posting this emotional tribute.
He was the big brother. He was one of the most multifaceted, talented men. So gentle.
In a 2013 interview, Warner said his proudest achievement wasn't the hit sitcom, but building a life beyond The Cosby Show.
If I die tomorrow, I know I would go with a smile on my face.
And with that, Jesse joins us now live from Costa Rica. Jesse, officials say Warner's autopsy is now complete.
It was completed this morning, according to authorities, Tom, and they say that it confirmed that Warner's drowning death was in fact an accident.
Yeah, man, it's so many people scared of water. I don't think that the most dangerous thing on the face of this earth is any terrorist. I don't think it has anything with a politician. I don't think it have nothing to do with war. I think that the most dangerous thing on the face of this earth is the ocean. The most dangerous thing. I think that the ocean is the most, and I'm not afraid of it. I've just watched too much. I've seen, we don't even know what's down there fully. We don't even know what the heck is in some of these bodies of water, bro. The earth is like 80% water. I think that the ocean, bro, is the most scary thing on the, not the zombie. I can handle the zombie apocalypse. People be scared. Water? Water is different.